that decision. It's not a decision the church makes or the leadership makes. You make that decision. We're going to continue our series inside of the season of Advent. The songs, as well as what you heard from Leanne earlier, all point to the fact that we're awaiting the coming of Jesus. The whole celebration of Advent is about his first coming, but the early church was very excited about his second coming, that he would return. And some of the things that they would celebrate as they thought about this were the things you saw in the candle. They were hopeful of his return. They were filled for love for his living presence in their life. And his presence was giving them joy. And eventually they began to think about peace. Also, when you think about the actual Christmas story, those elements come out in a specific order for a reason. They've been waiting for Jesus for many, 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 many thousands of years by the time he came. That was hopeful. Then he finally arrived. He arrived in a loving family that was to care for him, and he also was to give care for that he was actually developed in. The joy was given to the shepherds. Now, this is really significant. The reason it was given to the shepherds is they were the most lowly job there was in the culture. And so they announced to them joy for them because this was a savior for all people, regardless of how much money you made, how little money you made, regardless of your ethnic background, for all people. And today we're going to look at peace. Now, why is peace one of the, I love the one on peace, because we struggle with peace, don't we? Has anyone been crazy or stupid enough to shop in North Salisbury already? Was your peace robbed from you? So Katie will tell you, she was following us to a Christmas party recently, she's around here somewhere, that she says, you drive like a lunatic. And it's because I drive in that area too often and my peace gets robbed from me from other people. Or what I really should say is I surrender my peace. Some of you, peace gets robbed for different reasons. Not only the chaos of the season that we're in, but also the busyness of this season and the life we're in. The parties, the plays, the places you have to go. For some of you, it's just the way your life is structured and how you have to run from here to there. During Christmas time, one of the other unwritten rules, I don't know if you've ever had this rule, some people live by this. Anyone a Big Bang Theory watcher? I love the Big Bang Theory. Anybody love Sheldon? I love his autism and the way it comes out. I love that if you give Sheldon a gift, what happens? He has to reciprocate an equivocated gift, because if he doesn't, he's violated all of the ethical rules around gift giving. You ever feel that way during Christmas? Y'all ever had that moment where someone gives you a gift, you're like, crap, I didn't get him anything? And then you run out and all peace is robbed from you. And somehow in the midst of all of this, we miss the whole real reason for peace. That's for us personally. But if you look in the time of Jesus and you look even in the time where we are today, we struggle with peace. Think about the Middle East right now and the very lack of peace in the Middle East. And Jesus is born into this moment, and we're going to look at it again in a second, and given the title, Prince of Peace. How is this possible into the season and the time that he was born and into the world in which we were born? So if you have a Bible, we're going to look at Isaiah 9:6, and we're going to bounce around a little bit. We want to camp here first. And look what it says in Isaiah 9:6, written 700 years, by the way, before the birth of Jesus. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I don't know if you noticed this. This is always significant. Do you notice that each of the titles that are given to Jesus are capitalized? Do you know why? Because not only are they proper, but the author wanted you to know that each of them showed you something about the divinity of Jesus, that he was God in the flesh. And they awaited for God in the flesh to arrive in their midst. And if you've ever been around God, when God shows up, what's the one thing that happens? People are trembling. They're fearful. And so every time Jesus shows up, and you see it all through the New Testament, he says, peace. In fact, sometimes he just says, peace, peace. Anybody know what the original word there is he uses? He uses the Hebrew word shalom. And what's interesting about Isaiah is he uses the word shalom, peace in Hebrew, 28 unique times. In fact, Isaiah is called the gospel of peace. It's the good news of peace. And the reason he talks about peace is he knew this was coming. And for you and I, the application today, I hope will be profound, because maybe you're someone, you're processing loss. There's someone who's not here that was here last year or a different year, and you feel like in that loss, you have a lack of peace. For some of you, it's loneliness. It's just you feel abandoned, or that people aren't close to you or around you. And here's a promise of peace. For some of you, it's your job or your work or the lack of work. And you're like, what do I do with this? And again, we have this person who is named the Prince of Peace. For many of us, it's family. Don't elbow anybody, but it's family. Whether it's Christian family or physical family, and there's tensions and broken relationships, and you're dreading even going to that gathering, that time with that part of the family, because you know that person will be there and there'll be a lack of peace. And so understanding Jesus is the Prince of Peace is very important, because his peace is different than the world's peace. Let's go to the New Testament in John chapter 14, and you can see that Jesus offers a peace that is different from every religion and every worldview and every person in the world. Look what he said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, starting in verse 25. He said, "All of this I've spoken while I was still with you. But the Counselor," capital, you see it again, "the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid." For Jesus to say this, there must be something about his peace that is different than the world's peace and other faiths' peace. So what is that? That's what we have to dig at to understand how to connect to the peace that only Christ can give, that'll go through all the mess that you're in. He said, "Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, I do not give as the world gives." So how does the world give peace? We need to know that first, so then we can contrast that with Jesus's peace to figure out how to really get a hold of peace. So the first thing is this: the world's peace is temporary. The world's peace is temporary. The world is able to give a temporary peace. It's able to give some relief. It's able to like alleviate sometimes the problem. In fact, I think the best way to see this is if you've ever been on a vacation. You ever needed a vacation desperately? Ever been that person? You're like, oh, I can't wait. You have the vacation countdown. Like it's this many days, it's this many months, and you're counting down to the moment of vacation because you're like, I just can't wait to get out of here. You been there? And then you have the vacation and it's wonderful. And then you come back and the first thing you think is, I now need a vacation from my, yes. Because what you experienced was the world's version of peace. It was the cessation or the stopping for a brief time, all of the chaos and all the tensions in your life. And you're like, oh, this is great. And then as soon as you came back, it was all waiting for you. And that's the way this works. In my mom's life, I remember when she was going through her terminal illness and she was dying of cancer, medically we could give her morphine. And for a temporary season, she had peace. But it was only ultimately until when God took her home through a relationship in Christ that she had complete peace. And we'll get to that. But even then, medical and medicine only gives us a partial peace, a cessation. And in the Middle East, come on, it's only really we have peace between conflict. You get a little bitty time and then something else happens in the Middle East and there's no longer peace. And that's kind of the way the world works. It's temporary. It's never long going. The world's peace is also partial. It's not only temporary, but it's never complete. It's always like a piece of peace. And that's why I think all of us are on edge waiting for World War III to happen. Like we almost have a sense that at some point something will break out, because even when there's a cessation of hostilities, it's only partial. One of the things I've been doing recently is redoing my shadow box. Some of you know I was in the Navy. I'm a Navy veteran and I had my shadow box. And so I've condensed the shadow box to just one side. I've got all of my dad's stuff now. And I'm trying to include his stuff on the other side of the shadow box, a fair way to do that. And when I was doing that, one of the things I realized was there's a, we used to call it the Gedung Medal for those of you who were in the military because everybody got one. And it was the National, look, Bob, yeah, the National Defense Medal or Ribbon. Remember that? So it's a, huh? Yeah, the Gedung Medal. We call it the Gedung. And I said, oh, look, Dad's got one. He's got one with a star because he's a Vietnam vet like our brother back there, Brother Jim. And then I've got one. And why does every person join the military automatically get what we call the Gedung Medal, the National Defense Medal? And it's because we're still technically in conflict with Korea. There's a cessation there of hostility, but we've never had an actual peace treaty put together. And I think that's such an illustration for me that reminds me that it's never done. There's always something coming. And the world cannot give us an ultimate peace. It can only give us a cessation for a small season of hostility, whether it's in our marriage, relationships, and national conflict. The world's peace just never fulfills us. And the world's peace is generally based on fear or the loss of something. A lot of the things that drive us when it comes to what we think are peace are really connected to, we have a fear of losing something. And as long as we hold that and have that, then we trick ourselves into thinking that we have peace. You'll see this, by the way, with people that have ever experienced abandonment, whether it's the abandonment of a spouse, a boyfriend, or a girlfriend, a parent. And when you experience this in the world in which you live, in the world that I live, you kind of are on toes or on edge all the time, waiting for every person around you, whether you realize or not, subconsciously, to leave you. You're waiting for the lack of peace to actually just boom, it'll blow up. Everyone at some point is going to do that. And that's because of this fear element that's connected to how we understand peace. Another way you'll see this, and some of you have seen this with churches, right? Churches are horrible at peace. It's kind of ironic, isn't it? Many churches, as they're dying and they're dwindling, they hold on to dear life, to everything that they think is in their control. And as they hold on to the things that they think are in their control, the harder they hold, the tighter that they grip, the more they lose and the more lack of peace they experience. And we see this with people who hold on to life in certain ways. Whether they're holding on to finances or a style of life or a house. And as they grip it all the tighter and they're fearful that if they lose it, they will lose peace. Their peace is robbed. In fact, they're anxiety ridden. Have you met these people or maybe you've experienced this yourself? When I was writing last year and I wrote in Grieving the Loss of the Church You Love in the book, I kind of bring this out because I see this all the time in the life of people. And as they fear for the things that they think that they could lose, they lose their joy, they lose their peace because they've placed their love and their affection in the wrong person, in the wrong place. Come back to Jesus' statement. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I did not give to you as the world gives. Jesus doesn't give with expectation. Jesus gave of his very life. And as he gave of his very life and sacrifice, he gave it to everyone that would receive it. And those that truly receive him have an inborn peace and joy that cannot be stolen. So while the world's peace is temporary, Jesus' peace is everlasting. Yeah, in fact, everything about his even name gives you this idea. In verse 25, we're shown, all this I've spoken while I was still with you. That was while Jesus was on earth. But you know, of Jesus, he is called the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You realize that Jesus precedes his birth, right? If you didn't know that, John 8:58 tells you, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus knew that the statement, I am, is a name for God. He said, before Abraham was even here to be the father of faith, I'm telling you, I am. I precede my own birth because I'm God in the flesh. That's everlasting kind of promises. There's been no leader in all of history that said, I preceded my birth and then proved it by his miracles of divinity. John 1:14 says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. This is what Jesus is talking about. He says, I speak this while I'm still with you. Isaiah in the Old Testament in 9:7 says, of the increase of his government, we read this, right? Of their and peace, there will be no end. No end, everlasting. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish all of this. This is all around the person of Jesus because he is everlasting. And the only way you can have everlasting peace is to actually put your hope in an everlasting Savior. And when this happens, here's what God does. I don't know if you've done this. He starts to implant his word in you. And he starts to show you his everlasting nature and where he's moving and what he's about. As I was thinking about invites for Christmas, we give you the cards for invites for Christmas. I couldn't help but think of Matthew 28, 18 through 20, when Jesus says, he came to them, he says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. This is after his resurrection. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Look at this. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. He's everlasting. And he's everlasting with the people that join him on mission to share his gospel, to share his good news. His peace transcends time. His peace transcends your situation. And his peace transcends your circumstances because he is over it and outside of it and Lord of it. That's the kind of everlasting peace. I love what the psalmist says in 34. He says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. One of the reasons why I love God's word so much is it's everlasting. It's unchanging. Jesus said not even one pen of it will go away for all time. His word is eternal, which is why the living word, Jesus, is also eternal. One of the reasons we started giving out Bibles, I don't know if you all know this, if you take the second class, you'll have a study Bible. Anyone that doesn't have a study Bible, we will give you a study Bible for free. How do we do that? Well, people give those Bibles in memory of loved ones that have passed away. We used to do flowers, which flowers are great. The problem with flowers, though, is what happens in a week? They wither and they die. But the word of God is eternal. And when you give a Bible for someone that one day we put their name in it, this Bible given in memory of this person who's now in heaven, and we hand that to you in the second class, and you open it, it shows you forever God's word being anchored into your heart, and that person now is remembered in a way that is eternal because God's word is that kind of completeness. That's what's beautiful about his peace, is it comes through his word, and it's everlasting because his word's everlasting. While the world's peace is partial, Jesus' peace, of course, is complete. It's finished. There's nothing you can add to it, nothing you can take from it. I love that he says in 26, the counselor of the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things. What, Jesus, but you don't understand my life. Anybody ever thought that? You don't understand where I've come from. You don't understand what kind of a jerk family I was in. Y'all realize Jesus was in a jerk family, right? He had a family that didn't even believe in him until he rose from the dead. Then they were like, kind of hard not to believe now. He came back from the dead. Even James came around. But Jesus had a family, even in the Gospel of Mark, that it says they tried to get him and take him away from the crowd because they thought he was out of his mind. I mean, everything you've ever been through, Jesus has experienced. He experienced loneliness. He experienced loss. He wept. One of the greatest passages in all of Scripture is when Jesus weeps for someone he loves who dies. So there's nothing you've been through, nothing you've experienced that he can't say, I know, and I give you my peace. And it's complete. I will teach you all things. This is what's so beautiful about that word shalom, peace, is that Christ wants to give it in a complete way. So let me show you how that works in connection with his word. What if you're one of those people that you have a horrible job? Don't raise your hand, okay? Your boss might be here or watch later. But you're like, I can't stand my job. Like, I'm good on Sundays. I'm good on Saturdays. Man, the weekends are awesome, but I got to go back to that place. I got to see that person. Look in Colossians 3, 23 through 24. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, for Jesus, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It's the Lord Christ you're serving. See, when you start working that way, you'll start looking at your boss differently, your coworkers differently. You'll stop working for accolades and attention from others because you know there's an eternal reward connected to how you're loving because you have this completeness in the relationship you have with Christ. I'll show you another way. What if you're married? Yeah. And you're like, Lord, my marriage would be great if you could just fix them. If they would just do this. If they would just change and not do this, right? You've been there? You don't elbow anybody, but I hear you. But what if you start to get a new view that maybe the spouse that you have is perfect and complete and will one day be perfect and fully complete in their relationship with Christ, that they're in process like you, and you begin to take the Lord's eyes and you look at him with his eyes, with the completed work that's already done, the completed work which will be in heaven, and you begin to view him from this vision, might it change the way you look at your marriage? Might it change the way you pray for your spouse if you see them in the completeness of who Christ is and how he is at work in their life? I love this in Philippians 1:6. It says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What I love about this, and I hope you can really grasp this, is when you receive the peace that Jesus gives, you don't do anything to it. You don't add to it. You don't take from it. You don't modify it. You don't tweak it. You just receive what he has done. And as his Spirit takes root in your heart, he begins this work in you. And if you can begin to see yourself this way, God's working in me. Gosh, think of where I was 5 years ago. Think of where I was 10 years ago in my relationship. Even a year ago if you're a new Christian. And God's done this in me now. What's he going to do in another 5 years, in 10 years? And then as you begin to see that, and then you look at others, you go, he's at work in that person too. I may not see it right now, but he is at work in them. For some of them, they're getting ready to come to faith. Maybe they're going to be the one in the waters of baptism. For some of them, maybe they're right now, their focus, their attention is the wrong place. But the Spirit of God is going to get a hold of them and change that. And if you begin to see them in that way, you'll start to treat them differently. And as you start to treat them differently, that's part of the process that God brings peace into your life. You get less frustrated with them, and you get more hopeful. You get more hopeful with your family. Amen? There's some people in my family right now, I look at them like, it's hard to see hope. All I see is, please don't open your mouth. You got one of those? But then I start going, but Lord, I'm praying how you're at work in their life. I think the problem here is not them. I think the problem is me. If I could just see them the way you see them, if I could just see them as complete, my peace about the situation would be very, very different. And that kind of perfect peace changes everything. A few years ago, we had that whole thing called COVID. You remember that? And I'll never forget when it finally came my turn to get it. Anybody else that got it, you know, it kind of made its way going around. Yeah, thanks, Brittany. So my wife got it, had a bad flu, a bad cold, and she decided to share it with us. My kids had the, this is funny, we lost our sense of sight and smell, but everything is good. And then I got it, and off to the hospital we went, okay? It affected everybody differently, and I ended up in the hospital, and my wife had to drive me there and drop me off, and she was terrified. She was concerned that she wouldn't see me again, that I'd be dropped off, and maybe that's where I was going to die. And while I was there and while she was at home and we're both praying and talking on the phone, we were reminded as we really pressed into our peace, into our relationship with Christ, that it really didn't matter what the outcome was, did it? If I died, I've got it better than her, and she's got a really good life insurance policy, so she's good. She wouldn't think so at first, but she would be, and y'all would have taken care of her. But it would have been okay. And if I came out of it, I came out of it with a better understanding of love for people that have been through it. Like, that's the kind of peace that Jesus sticks down in us. And it's so complete, and it's so beautiful. And while the world is based on fear and loss, Jesus' peace is a courageous peace. It's a courageousness that's inspiring. And when you see it, you're blown away. It's not in my notes, but I love to preach in the moment and just sense what the Spirit of God is doing. But Heather's over here. I love Heather. If y'all haven't met Heather, she's over here. Hi, Heather. So with Dan. And Heather came to me after COVID, because it reminds me of COVID. And she said, you know, the church just did a horrible job during COVID. And I'm like, why is that? She goes, like, she was so right. She goes, every other illness that ever came in the history of the church ran to it because they were terrified people were going to die without the good news of who Jesus was and spend eternity in hell. And this was the one that the church really blew it. We shrunk from it. We ran from it. We let the government tell us what we could do with it. Hopefully we learned some really good lessons. She was right on that. When she said that, I felt the Spirit of God rebuking me and correcting me. And I went, yeah, I need that. And the other thing I learned as she shared that was it's connected to this verse 27. The Spirit of God, when he lives within us, is courageous and inspiring, and he brings peace through courageous efforts, and he inspires others. Look, he says, peace I leave with you, peace I give you. I do not give to you the way the world gives. Don't let your hearts be troubled. We got troubled in that season. Do not be afraid. This kind of peace, when it lives in us, moves in a way that's courageous. You know, during the crucifixion, Jesus was offering peace. That's the kind of peace we need in our heart. He's hanging on a cross, crucified by his creation, crucified by his government, crucified by the people closest to him in his own religious faith. And he looks down at them, and what's his response? Forgive them. They don't know what they do. Only the peace of Christ living in the heart of a person can offer that. In John 19, you see John and Mary offering that kind of peace at the cross as well. Jesus offers that forgiveness in Luke 23. And in Luke 23, he tells an insurrectionist, a criminal, a person that we would have all shunned and said, man, what a loser. He looks at that guy who puts his faith in Christ. He says, I tell you, today, you'll be with me in paradise. There's something about Jesus' peace that is absolutely unique, and it's courageous, and it's inspiring. And when you witness it, you'll know it. First time I saw it physically was when Susan's grandfather died, Pop Dick, who was a pastor, and cancer just ate him away. I don't know if you've been around someone that's had to go through that horrible experience of cancer whittling away at their physical form. But as Pop Dick whittled away, the spiritual man in him just kept getting bigger and bigger. It was like somebody was turning the light bulb on brighter and brighter and brighter. And every time we would go and visit him, I'd say, Papa Dick, how are you? Wanting to love on him and serve him and encourage him and always walk away encouraged. He would say, the Lord is so good. You know, he sent me a lost nurse today. She didn't know Jesus, and I got to explain the good news of the gospel to her. She came to faith. He's on his deathbed. And yet in the moment, he's still pursuing the good news of the gospel. And I watched him get bigger and bigger and bigger. And I said, that's a victorious death. I've never seen one before. And that's why I said, that's the same courageous, inspiring peace that I see in the person of Jesus. Now I'm seeing it inside of Pop Dick. Susan had a mentor. Her name was Mrs. Joan Forsey. I don't know if everybody ever met Miss Joan. But you'd say, Miss Joan, what's your ministry? She would say, I'm a Titus II kind of woman. And if you never read Titus II, the older women would mentor the younger women. And that was her ministry, and her cancer came back. And man, she did everything she could do physically, did all the right stuff. But when it came back, and she had to go through that, we asked her how she was doing. She goes, I win. No matter how this comes out, I win. I have a peace that I can't explain one way or the other. This kind of peace is only gotten through the person of Christ. And if you've been around someone that has it, you'll know it. And it's courageous, and it's inspiring. Psalm 23:4 says, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you'll fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. If Christ is with you, you can go through anything. It's a peace that surpasses your understanding. Recently, one of the things messing with my peace, and I won't go into it too much detail because it's too intimate and it involves someone in my family, is my son is just in a really bad place, and you can pray for him. And I'm praying through that and trying to be a good dad and still love my son where he is, because he can't unbe my son. That's the beauty. If you're a good parent, one of the things I want to teach you is your kids can never not be your kids. They can be bad kids, dumb kids. I mean, they can be some kind of kid, okay? But they can't stop being your kid. You love them, and you get that from the love the Father gives you. Because I don't know about you, but I put my Heavenly Father through some stuff, and he still loved me. And as I think about that, as I meditate on that, I was working through that, and a buddy of mine who's a Catholic priest in Italy, he likes to write music. I don't know many Catholic priests that write contemporary music, but this one does. And he sent me a song last night through Facebook Messenger, and I opened it up and listened to it. And he goes, I was praying for you. He goes, I have no idea why. I finished the song, and God said to send you the song. And it was about peace. It was about trusting God in the midst of situations you can't see and just believing God for an outcome you can't understand. And he blessed my socks off. He has no idea. I'll tell you a funny little secret. He has offered for us to come and hang with him in Italy. He said he put us up at his house, and I'm like, that's awesome. We should go. And my wife's like, are you out of your mind? I'm an extrovert. She's an introvert. She's like, we're not going to go stay with some strange Catholic priest in Italy. I'm like, I think it would be fun. Pray for it. Okay. We'll see what God does in it. So, but I think about this, and it's in little things and it's in big things, this courageous and inspiring faith. When we planted Mardella from this church, God inspired that. People said, why would you do that? It took courage to actually go against all the naysayers to plant a church in a place that nobody thought you should plant a church. Now we're seeing what God's doing there. We were looking for a children's director and couldn't find the right children's director, and we waited and we prayed and we waited and we prayed, but we believed that God would give us, and we had that peace, and we were courageous about waiting for the right person. And God gave us an amazing children's director in Wendy. Unbelievably right person in that season. I know we're right now in between waiting for God's person for the youth. And the youth director. And we've got a great team right now that's leading our youth. But I know they're waiting for the right leader. And we're going to keep praying and waiting and believing for the outcome that God's going to give. Where do you lack peace in this season? Those are some areas that we've lacked peace. But what about you? If you can name the place where you lack peace and you can present that to God, it's how God will be most involved in your life. So this week, here's my challenge for you. Will you open his peace? It's in the person of Jesus. And will you share it with someone else? Will you share that peace? Will you step into a courageous moment with that person? Will you be Christ to them? Will you set down your own life, your own wants, your own desires, your own agenda to love them only the way Jesus loves them? I'd love to help you in that in this moment. What I want to do is just want to spend a time in prayer as we get ready to close our service. And I'm going to ask you to do something a little different as a church family. I want to pray for you in the areas where you lack peace. And so as we meditate and we just pray in this moment, if you want to cry out to God and you want to say family, then we'll pray right in this moment for family. If it's a job, you don't have to say which one, just my job. The lack of a house, finances. You yell out to God as we sit and pray, and we'll lift that before God in prayer, believing wholeheartedly that he's about to meet you and give you peace in a way that surpasses your understanding and mine. Amen? Amen. So let's bow before him. Father, we come before you in this Christmas season, expectant for Christ to come into our hearts and into our lives. We ask that you would examine our heart in this moment, that we would shout out to you, cry out to you into the area where we lack peace in this season, so that you can meet us in that place and do a miraculous work that we can't even see. Take this moment. cry out to God. For those willing, make an audible cry before the Lord. Out loud for all of us to hear.
Housing.
Father, we live in a season, in a culture that has a lack of housing, and it has become too expensive and unaffordable for most. But we know that you are a God who can give favor and you can make a way in the desert where no one sees a way. Would you provide housing in that situation right now and open doors that aren't even foreseeable for the one who cries out for housing in this season? Loneliness, Father, you said that you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. And you not only do that spiritually as you meet us in the moment, but you bring friends and Christian brothers and sisters close to those who need a touch in this season. Let people draw close to those who are lonely and don't have that, that they would have new friends and new relationships and they would sense the Spirit of God closer than ever before. Anointment. Father, you said that there are those among us who feel called but feel so often insufficient. But what we love about the call that you put on each and every person's life is you empower them for what you call them to. And that's what anointment is. Anoint fresh each and every man and woman and child who calls out to you and wants to serve you this day.
Salvation for my
brothers and sisters. Salvation. Oh. Father, salvation for so many in our families. There are so many that we love that don't know you intimately. They know about you. They know of you. They might even see you in us, but they have never embraced you themselves. Some are wavered. Some have never found you. Father, we pray for each and every one of those that you will be revealed to them in a fresh and new way, in a miraculous way that you can only get the glory and the honor, that they won't believe how you have crashed through heaven and into earth to reveal your heart to them, and they can't deny what you did for them when you died on that cross, and they will respond by faith. In Jesus' name we ask that. Redemption. Father, there are those that are redeemed, there's those that are being redeemed, and those that have been yet to be redeemed. And when we redeem something, we regain its original worth. Our worth is not even in our faith, but in the person of Christ and what you were willing to pay for our salvation. And so each and every person here is fully redeemed that's put their faith in Christ, and those that will one day will, and their value is equal. It's all redeemed in the person of Jesus. We stand before your cross, all equally redeemed in Jesus' name. Lord, for those who feel unworthy, not good enough, not able, not valued, not seen, I pray that they will begin to see themselves first the way you see them, as unique, wonderfully made, powerfully committed to the good news of what you called us to do. That they will see their value completely in you, and that they will begin to draw around them people who have a like mind, who don't see them for what they can give, what they can offer, what they have or what they don't have, but only for the relationship they have in faith in Christ. And I pray that those people will draw closely to those that feel unseen and forgotten and unworthy, and that they will begin to have the worth and value that Christ gives to each of his people. finances. Father, in this season, it is so difficult. There are so many demands. Inflation has been up. Gas has been up. There are so many things that make it hard to manage finances. And we pray that we will be not only good stewards, but you will show us how to use what we have in the most effective way, but also where there's not enough, that you will provide a way, whether it's through a new job, a different working area, or even through the generosity of your church and your people, that all needs will be met.
Patience.
Father, you know, we joke about patience, Lord Jesus, and we say we should never pray for it, but the reality is we should pray. But when we pray, we should know it's about to be tested. And today we learn that you will give the peace and you will give us what we need when our patience is tested to develop the patience that you have. Let the living presence of Christ be found in each person desiring patience. And as that patience is tested and as they ask for it, you will help them to be long-suffering. And they'll learn exactly what it's like to be you, because you know long-suffering and you know what it's like to be patient and to wait for a response. Let the response come at the right time and give them the patience they need to stand up under that brokenness. Father, for those that feel broken, for those that have been broken, would you mend and heal and restore them to completeness and fullness as if they were never broken in the beginning, that they will have the wound, that they will have the scar, but they won't even have the sense of it because of the wholeness and completeness of your salvation. And now, Lord, we submit all other prayers to you, all unspokens to you, believing wholeheartedly that you, the Prince of Peace, will grant each and every person peace in this season. We trust you and we give our lives completely to you. And all God's people said, amen. I encourage you with that time of prayer, and I encourage you to do it in your groups. If you're in a Sunday school, you're in a growth group, or you've got a Bible study, or you meet for coffee, or whatever you do when you hang out with people, do not be afraid or ashamed to have a moment of open prayer where you say, hey, let's just put the stuff on the table that's messing with us. Let's be real and honest about the stuff that's robbing our peace and our joy and our hope and our happiness. Let's put it there and let's pray before it. And then I want you to keep a journal, so that when God shows up, you're like, well, daggone, look what he did. And then you can give God the glory and the honor. You know, when you give God the glory and the honor based on that, that's called worship. And that's why next week when he comes and he answers one of those prayers for you, you'll have a whole new reason to worship him next Sunday, or maybe for the candlelight services. A couple of things I want you to know about as we get ready to close our service. We have two services available for you for Christmas services, for candlelight services. If you've got a busy afternoon and evening, we have a service in Mardella. And so the service in Mardella is going to be at 11 o'clock. How do you do that? Look, just go to Mardella. It's called Barron Creek Church. When you cross the light, you park on the right, you literally walk down the church. It's on the water. It's called Barron Creek. So we'll be out there flagging you down if you miss it. Hey, you missed it. Go that way. So it's a nice, beautiful, small chapel. It was originally, I think, Episcopal or Presbyterian church that closed. It's a pretty cool little vibe. So if you're wanting the morning thing, 11 o'clock, we'll be there. That'll be a lot of fun. And then we're going to have 5 o'clock right here on Christmas Eve. And so we did that for a couple different reasons. I know some of you are like, I don't drive at dark. Well, then you got two choices. Go when it's light in Mardella, or you can get here early because it won't be dark at 5. It'll just barely have gotten dark, so we can still do the candle lighting for that night. And so we're also here in Seaford going to have cookies and tea and hot chocolate and, of course, coffee for those of us that have to run home and still put things together and stay up and, you know, do the whole Christmas vibe thing. So we'll have some coffee for you. If you would like to help with that, I know Vicky's out there somewhere at the welcome desk. There she is, waving her hand. Do it again, wave your hand. Hello, Vicky. Wave your hand again. There you are. Okay. So she's right there. She would love to know if you'd like to make cookies or if you'd like to be a part of that. They'll be coming early, and then we'll stay afterward and have some hot chocolate and cookies. And then whatever is left over, we will leave for our guests that'll be here for Code Purple, so they'll also have fresh cookies and cool Christmas vibes for the holiday season. So they're going to come right now for our offering. As our deacons come to take up our offering, I want to remind you, if there's something that we didn't get a chance to pray for today, you didn't call out to God, but you still want prayer, put that on your Connect card, and we'll pray for that as you put it in the offering plate. For those of you that continue to support Grace and have been doing the Lottie Moon offering, if you're not familiar, Lottie Moon is the offering we're taking up for missionaries in this season. Make sure you designate. You're going to see a video about that in a second. You're offering for Lottie Moon so that we can make sure if you want that to go to missions, it's going to go to missions. It'll go to Lottie Moon. And if you're doing your general offering, you can just put that in the plate as well. If you miss the plates, wherever you are, you can always put your offering or your Connect card. Let's say you're writing a prayer and you're like, I didn't get a chance to finish my prayer. It's okay. Put it in the offering box on the way out on the left. That way, I don't want to rush you in writing out a way to pray for you or your family. Take the time to pray how we can pray for you and put that there, and we'll do that. I'm going to pray for our offering. We put together three videos simultaneous for the Lottie Moon offering today. It's three different missionaries that are in three different parts of the world. I wanted you to kind of see the diversity of missions across internationally, the world in which you're part of. When you give to Lottie Moon or when you go internationally, God's doing a lot of amazing things, and I want you to be able to see that. So I'm going to pray for this, and then you get to watch three different missionaries and how God's at work. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this offering. We pray that you will use it for the advancement of your kingdom and that you will use it in such a way that people come to know you. We thank you for the Lottie Moon offering, the specialness of it, and how it'll go to missionaries all across the world in this season. And I thank you for the prayers that will be placed in these plates and in the offering box. May you grant and move in each one in a very special way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, my name's Mackenzie. I'm an IMB missionary serving in Nairobi, Kenya. I work specifically with refugees doing food distributions. I also do trauma healing Bible studies and discipleship groups. Thank you for giving to the cooperative program and the Lottie Moon offering to keep me on the field serving refugees.
We are Joe and Shauna, and we serve in Luanda, Angola.
We're here right now to learn language and culture, but we will eventually move to the city of Lubango. Interesting facts about Luanda. Average population here, I think, is like 18 years old. 75% is under the age of 25. And everything here was largely affected by decades of civil war. So we have lots of unengaged, unreached people groups, which means there is a ton of people here without the gospel. So we always get to talk about our Lord Jesus Christ because you give to the cooperative program and you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And for this, we thank you so much.
Hey everybody, I'm Lauren Molesky. I'm your IMB missionary out here in Nairobi, Kenya. A lot of what I do is media with university students. So what that looks like is I promote our university events. And we recently just had somebody find our Instagram account, come to the university ministry, and then they were able to have a gospel conversation. So we appreciate the support that you give through the Lottie Moon offering and the cooperative program. It really helps us do our work here in Kenya. Thank you, guys.
Now, a couple things that are in that to help you as you get to know who we are as a church is they call about the cooperative program. The cooperative program, if you didn't know, is every time we take an offering, we actually give a certain percentage of that offering to the cooperative program, which supports missionaries all around the world and also plants churches right here locally in North America and does disaster relief. And then the Lottie Moon offering is specifically going to international missionaries. Now, I wanted to give you an idea of why this is important real brief before you get released. Let me give you some stats that came through our denomination. So go to the next one. So this is the impact of what you're doing and giving. 117,000 baptisms, that was only last year internationally. 270,000 people discipled. 141,000 new believers. 3,500 missionaries you were supporting through your giving. And almost 880,000 people heard the gospel in 1 year. That's just the IMB stats. Isn't that cool? So that's what you're doing when you give to that. So that's why you don't get to see all those things, but that's what's actually happening. Let's go to the next one. 100% of the offerings we've been telling you goes to them. There's no administrative fees. Next one. The goal this year was set. I know you want to know this, Miss Julie, but her secretary's been away. So, yeah, write that. She's like, I want to know where we are. So that's where we are right now in raising. Despite, she's like, we're on target. So that's what we're doing as a church locally. And then the next slide is how you give. So you can always give, excuse me, through the offering. We'll continue to do that through December if God moves in your heart. But you can also always give by just going text Greasy for the 77977 anytime you want. And that's a way that you can give to Lottie Moon or to the church. Pretty cool, huh? So I just want you to see, God's doing lots of cool things through this. And it's, you know, just saying give to internationally doesn't make sense until you see the big picture, how lives are being changed. Let me pray a blessing over you. And then don't forget your youngins, okay? Don't forget picking up your kids. That's a good thing. Father in heaven, thank you for each person here. Thank you for how you're moving during this Christmas season. This is our last Sunday, Lord, before we get to Christmas Eve. Give us a person by name and picture that we can invite, a family that we can bless with an invitation to a candlelight service, to a Christmas service, and allow us to share the peace and the hope and the love and the joy that you've put in us through the person of Jesus with that person, that they might walk away filled with your Spirit and filled with Christmas joy. And all God's people said, amen.